This is the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS. Now, Rick Preuss and Lee Cohen, two guys that invite you to rub their bellies. Yeah, go ahead, rub it.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Scott Carter, who is the Chief Life Sciences Officer at the Detroit Zoo. Welcome back to the show, Scott.
Thanks very much, Lee. Hello, Rick.
It's our pleasure to have you. Scott, we've been talking this morning about the whole issue related to Zanesville, Ohio, and what happened with all of the animals, unfortunately, having to be killed. What's your take on the whole story?
Well, it's a tragic example of what can go wrong when exotic, dangerous exotic animals are kept as pets, kept by private owners.
Mm-hmm.
Most private owners simply don't have the infrastructure and the processes in place to keep their facilities safe, to keep their animals well cared for and their facilities and their neighbors safe.
Yeah,
Go
right ahead. I'm sorry, Scott.
Well, zoos have processes in place. First of all, we have facilities that are designed by professionals to keep animals in. But we also have emergency processes in place that we drill constantly so that we are prepared in the event of an emergency should one ever happen.
Sure.
So that in the event of an escape, for example, an animal would be quickly either returned or dispatched.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about, this is a backyard facility and your facility. Maybe just two or three things that your facility is going to have as a result of being an accredited zoo than what somebody in their backyard typically has?
Well, one of the things that we're required to have as an accredited facility is multiple layers of containment. So there's a perimeter around the zoo itself, and there's also multiple layers of containment around dangerous exotic animals, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So in the event that containment is breached, there are multiple layers of containment that an animal has to get through. And that often is not in place in backyard menageries, for lack of a better word.
What about, I know enrichment is always a very important topic for these animals. I don't want to take away from the hazards play associated with this whole event, but realistically we also are looking at, you know, how well are these animals being cared for on a day-to-day basis. I know that lately I was listening to Jack Hanna carry on in a news agency about, kind of how important it was for these animals not to necessarily run right back to where they were. And part of his appeal was because of how they're being cared for in situations like this versus what a zoo can do. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, basically the word enrichment always comes to mind. Help us understand how a life is better for a tiger or a grizzly bear in an accredited zoo.
Well, enrichment is something that has become a bit of a buzzword in zoos. And for us, I want to make it clear that by its use often, we tend to think of enrichment as something that's almost optional. We all do it. All accredited zoos are required to provide environmental enrichment. For us, ensuring that an animal's environment is appropriately complex and enriched is a part of how we provide their care and ensure their welfare. So it's not an add-on or an option. We do a number of things to provide enrichment, from food, objects, toys, smells, a number of different ways we can make an animal's environment appropriately complex and stimulating. For animals like the carnivores, bears, especially in captivity, are prone to maladaptive stereotypic behaviors because their environments just aren't as stimulating as they should be. Bears in the wild have huge home ranges. They're used to having the choice to go to different places, experience different things, always faced with something novel, something new. And it's difficult in captivity to do that. Zoos have very intensive enrichment programs for bears.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak to what was provided for the animal in Zanesville. I
good point.
Visited that area.
Very good point.
Well, Scott, in terms of the treatment of the animals, one of the big controversies was the issue of why weren't they tranquilized? And we've talked a little bit about that with the time of the day and the different dosages that would be needed for different animals. Can you lend a little bit better understanding to help understand why the police did what they did?
Well, Lee, I'm happy to comment on what would happen here. I can't speak to decision-making that was made in Zanesville that night.
Okay.
But emergency tranquilization using chemical means of immobilizing an animal is something that isn't immediate. It takes time. There are a number of different drugs that could be used in combinations that vary depending on the species and the size of the animal. All of these factors have to be considered. In addition to the time of day, the number of animals. Chemical immobilization of animals is not a quick and immediate means of stopping an animal.
And how would these animals respond? I mean, were people's lives in danger?
Again, Lee, I wasn't there. I can't speak to the decision-making that was used.
Okay.
But any time a lion or a tiger or a bear... Those are all animals that can seriously hurt or kill people.
All right, well, let's shift topic a little bit because we get thrown around words of animal brokering and auctions and such that these animals came from. It's just I imagine it's both a spectacle and an embarrassment to see these very ferocious animals being auctioned off and sold. How is the climate throughout the United States, and how is Michigan, and how does that compare to what's going on in Ohio? How do these people stumble upon, this is a guy that had quite a track record of blemishes, and yet he's acquiring animals that just really shouldn't be accumulated. Personal opinion, but bears,
that
big cats.
Is shared by a number of us.
Right? I'm sure it is. But what's the climate out there, and how does this exist, and are there efforts to take, basically cats and bears and such from that arena?
Well, the legislation that we have in Michigan now is a good example of change that we put in place 10 years ago. And we and other states... recognized this issue a number of years ago and have put measures in place that prevent people from holding or selling dangerous exotic animals. Now, in Michigan, at the municipal level, there are municipalities all over Michigan that made it illegal years ago. For example, you couldn't own a lion or a tiger or a bear in the city of Detroit for many, many years now, mm-hmm. but it applied only to the city. Getting it applied at the state level was critical to really ensuring that Michigan could be a safe place.
Yeah.
Safe in the respect of, having dangerous exotic animals in someone else's backyard. We've all read the reports that say that Ohio has among the weakest laws.
Right.
Hopefully what will happen out of this is that will change.
Is there a relatively, I know your zoo, and we've got to wrap it up here, I guess, but your zoo has been at the forefront of at least the philosophical thinking of what makes... appropriate, fair, and keeping of these animals in captivity. Can you comment a little bit about that? Because I know you've been involved more so than an average zoo at really trying to make the philosophy of exotic animal keeping, especially mean, aggressive exotic animal keeping, under control.
Yeah, no, it's for us, Rick, the issue is human responsibility. We have animals in captivity. We're responsible for their care. These are not free-living animals. Our responsibility to nature is somewhat different. We do have a responsibility as well to helping ensure that there are safe wild populations of animals out there, that nature is preserved. But our responsibility is different when animals are in captivity. We're responsible for individual beings in addition to being responsible for species. So this means that we have to be committed to providing what they need to be healthy and to be happy. People often get uncomfortable with the word happy.
Scott, I'm sorry to say we've run out of time,
okay.
But I want to thank you for coming on the show. We've been talking with Scott Carter, the Chief Life Sciences Officer at the Detroit Zoo. And Rick, I'm sorry to say we've run out of time for this week's show. So on behalf of our producer, Mark Price, and my co-host, Rick Bruce, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great weekend. We'll see you next week for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.